You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, July 24th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning across Wisconsin, whether you're way up north or up north as far as where we are. Madison, Studio A2, along with producer Parker Olson. It's nice to have you here wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or listening or watching on any of the other different platforms out there. We appreciate you starting your day and your week right here. I've got a question for you, and to do it, I'll bring in young Mr. Olson early because he's probably been to more rock concerts and things than I have over the years. We had a very weighty meeting yesterday of all of the hosts across the Civic Media Radio Network. And one of the discussions that I heard that I need to nail down is, if you're going to a concert and you buy a concert t-shirt there, are you allowed to wear the shirt? And or are you allowed to wear a shirt with the band's name if you're going to the concert? Not buying one there, but actually walking to the concert in one. For the first time yesterday, I heard that's poor form.
What?
Exactly. Yes?
You don't go to a Packer game and not wear Packers.
Thank you. Okay. What? Good. We're on the same page.
That is such a strange take.
And yet, no, this person was quite adamant that you you don't put on the t-shirt while you're there, and you take it home, and you don't if you're going to see, I don't know, the Doobie Brothers, he said, showing his age. Yeah. You don't wear your Doobie Brothers t-shirt to the concert. I'd never heard that.
That seems wrong.
I'm putting it out there simply because this person was so adamant, and I am more than willing to be wrong. I have definitely proven a willingness to be wrong about certain things. So that we did talk about other things related to the business of, network talk radio.
You know
radio.
What the meeting was for.
What?
What, you know, what the meeting was for.
Oh, you know, the thing. Yes.
Yeah.
The top super secret, double secret probation, secret squirrel secret that we can't tell you about.
You can't know.
No, it was all fine. It was lovely. It was good to get to see everybody in person for at least a little while. Then Todd Alba had to run off because he's actually doing his show live today from Green Bay the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summer Summit. I'll be on location tomorrow up in Oshkosh. Going to finally check out this EAA Air Venture thing and see what that's all about.
I hear good things.
Yeah. So, again, very happy that we got everybody together to talk for a bit, compare some notes, and figure out how we continue to be the best group of programs possible. I think that this network, careful, tooting own horn alert here. But like I told them, it felt like 20 years I was waiting for things like this, like Civic Media, like Up North News, like Courier Newsroom. There was definitely an appetite out there for the kinds of things that we are doing. And thankfully, the right people have come along at the right time and enabled us to do that, to spend our mornings here with you, to, pay Parker a little bit more than what he'd get flipping burgers, to, sit here and make sure that the program gets out over the air.
Yeah, I'd rather push buttons than flip burgers.
See? So we've got this nailed down. We've got a wonderful thing set up here, and we just want to keep getting better. And again, your thoughts and suggestions are always welcome. I mean, some of them more than others that tell us to do things that are anatomically impossible, but we appreciate the suggestions that come in the comment sections on Facebook and YouTube, and of course by email and any other way that you respond. Coming up on the program today, if you haven't seen cryptocurrency-friendly ATMs yet, chances are you will soon. Tens of thousands of them are springing up, increasing the temptation for everyday Americans to dip a toe into the crypto pool, one that's being advertised as, lots of opportunity, but it's not without its perils and pitfalls, and two state legislators will be here to outline a bill that they've designed to put some guardrails up for consumers on these crypto boxes in our state and to make sure that you're not just that basically the thing that looks like an ATM isn't actually a rat hole to put your money down to quote unquote invest in cryptocurrency. So again, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. We'll talk about Wisconsin senior senator, a reliable repeater of Russia friendly rhetoric, who is once again feeling emboldened to share disinformation about Moscow's work to support Donald Trump's 2016 election. Ron Johnson's remarks come as part of an effort by Donald Trump allies to distract attention from a new report that we learned late yesterday that Trump was indeed told by his attorney general earlier this year that his name comes up in the Epstein files. And suddenly the files aren't being released at the speed with which they promised. So Trump's director of national intelligence, herself a sympathizer to Russia's dictator, has twisted, contorted, and conflated past reports about 2016 in order to make unsubstantiated claims about former President Barack Obama. And that, of course, led to Congressman Derek Van Orden being so willing, so eager to play along, so much wanting to please dear leader that he now has called for former President Barack Obama's imprisonment. It's only the latest sad chapter in the Republican Party's fall from Russian watchdog to Putin puppies. Also, a Democratic state senator is collecting the names of fellow lawmakers and other leaders on a petition that calls for next year's gubernatorial nominee, be that Tony Evers or somebody else, to commit to a series of promises, from guaranteed child care to a $20 an hour minimum wage and more. So let's ask this question. Are these bold promises that will inspire voters who are tired of squeamish politicians, or will these commitments cause candidates to paint themselves into a corner and turn off moderate voters? That's one of the things we'll talk about with Joe Zepecki later this morning on the ongoing debate among Democrats charting a course for 2026. And of course, along the way, we'd love to have your feedback as well. You can also use the Civic Media app. You can send us a voice note. You can send us a text message. We're very happy to, have your feedback any way possible. But first, it's time for Parker's feedback on not having free hamburgers because the Brewers had lost that game day before yesterday, only to come back and kill CILL, the Seattle Mariners, 10-2. Bryce Tarang drove in three runs with three hits, and the Brewers had 17 hits overall to take two out of three. So they've now won 12 of their past 13.
That's okay.
That's okay.
I'm fine.
You know what? We can still get a burger almost any place.
That's true.
Quinn Priester went seven innings, allowed two runs on six hits and six strikeouts. Luke Mathers showed me something truly disgusting yesterday, a photo of a George Webb, free George Webb hamburger from back in 2018 when, the burgers were being given away. I don't know where he saw the news story, but somebody took their free 2018 burger and put it into an airtight
don't tell me that.
Glass case. I don't know if it was glass or some other composite.
Oh, God.
And the thing is, it's only shriveled a little bit.
Oh, it's not fuzzy?
And it's not fuzzy, and it's not completely discolored. Huh. And it really has me rethinking my diet of the things that we're putting in and the half-life of some of these matters.
Yeah. I like to not think about what's in my food, to be perfectly honest with you, Pat, which is probably not a great approach.
And but. I don't plan to preserve any of my food in a glass case.
Definitely don't plan on that.
No. So the Brewers are off today, and then they begin a weekend series tomorrow at American Family Field. They will be taking on the Florida Marlins Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then the Cubs come to town on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yes. I'm sorry.
No.
You have said this every time that you've previewed this game.
What
is the name of the Marlins?
Oh, am I still calling it Florida Marlins?
Yeah.
And then they went to Miami Marlins?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not to be that guy, not to show your age, but I was just like, oh.
Nope, that's okay. And then later, they'll take on the New York Knickerbockers. The Cincinnati Red Stockings. Yes. Sorry. The Miami Marlins coming up at home Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now, a note about tomorrow's game. It might catch some people off guard. It certainly did for me, given that I'm going. It's not a 7 o'clock game, as you might suspect. It's a 3 p.m. game, 3:15, I think. And that's going to be followed by the Alumni Home Run Derby. So the pregame for tomorrow will be at 2:35. That will be the Brewers versus the Marlins, 2:35 tomorrow. Then Saturday and Sunday will be more traditional times here, but Friday, 2:35 on several civic media stations across Wisconsin. I was listening to one of the national cable shows as I was driving in today, Parker, and it's funny that they're talking about, you know, believe it or not, they play some good baseball in the Central Time Zone. And they went on to talk. It was basically about the Brewers and how nobody could name anybody on the team other than Christian Yelich.
I mean, yeah, I suppose.
But the reason I liked it, yeah, there was a little bit of, you know, ribbing of the Midwest and all that. But again, we are the little engine that could. I mean, I know that I'm reading names sometimes on these highlights, and I know that there are people going, I don't know who that is. I mean, I guarantee somebody out there heard me talk about Quinn Priester going 7 innings, and they're going, where did he come from? You know?
Yeah.
But that's the magic of this team, is that they've done it with essentially nobodies, but nobodies with real talent and nobodies who have a real good manager.
That is small market life is what that is.
Yeah.
And I love it. I have a lot of fun with being a small market team, having never been a fan of a large market team.
No. Yeah. So again, the Brewers are getting noticed. It should make you nervous. But you know what? That next 12-game winning streak with the free hamburgers right around the corner. Just don't put it in a glass box. Promise me that.
Oh.
I mentioned that Todd will be live in Green Bay today. His show from 2 to 4 will be live from Preble High School in Green Bay for the Wisconsin Public Education Annual Summer Summit, where educators and their allies get together and talk about a host of subjects to get ready for the next school year. Some of them academic, some of them political. Todd's going to have some great people to talk to today up in Green Bay. Then Jane and Greg have Matt Nair on air from 9 to 11. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel is going to join them at 9:30 this morning. And on the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon from 4 to 6, Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign is going to be the guest co-host. But coming back to Jane and Greg, and specifically to Greg, I know that when we were all having dinner last night after our big meeting, he mentioned that he was hoping to get to an open mic at one of the comedy clubs here and perform. And the last thing that I saw before turning in was a post where he put up the set list, and he had made the set list.
Hey.
So he was going to be performing last night at this open mic. So I'm hoping. Now, he's a professional at this.
Yes.
So I'm sure he doesn't talk about it every time, but I hope he does. You know what? I'm sure Jane will ask, because how often do we all get together in Madison like this? And then one member of your group goes off and does open mic. I mean, you could do it at your workplace, but I'll bet they wouldn't be as good as Greg, you know.
That's probably true.
We got a good one that way. So
Greg's good.
Yeah.
I'm mad I didn't get to go.
What's that?
I'm mad I didn't get to go.
I'm sorry. We did not have time to put out the memo. That's on me. No, it's not. It's on Luke. From the heart of America's up north, live today from Madison. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We are less than 15 minutes away from hearing from Up North News social media manager Sharita Booker about some of the big events happening around Wisconsin this weekend that maybe you would like to take part in. So stick around for that. Then, of course, today's history lesson as well. Looking at some of the Wisconsin headlines today, I think there is a great illustration coming from two headlines in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about Wisconsin politics. So I'm going to read both of these headlines to you. And one of them begins with the word Democrats. One of them begins with the word Republicans. These are both out of the legislature. And tell us something about priorities, values, things like that. And I'm not here to tell you one is right or one is wrong. I'm just saying that they're quite emblematic of where we are in politics today. The first one from Mary Spacuzza and Francesca Pica: Democrats seek to require a vote before legislators can hire outside attorneys at taxpayer expense. And now that you would understand because of a recent Journal Sentinel report showing that since Governor Evers took office since 2017, the Republicans running the legislature have spent more than $26 million on outside attorneys to do things like sue the governor and others because they do not want the state attorney general, who is a Democrat, taking on these cases. And so they're spending money on these outside attorneys to do things like defending gerrymandered maps and lame duck legislation to take away the governor's powers and things of that nature. Fights about partial veto powers, what the Joint Finance Committee can do. Can they hold back money that they're not supposed to be allowed to hold back? $26 million. So Democrats are putting forward this bill that would say, you know, it's not just that the Republican leadership can simply hire an outside attorney at taxpayer expense. No, it would require a vote by the full assembly or Senate before either house could hire private counsel, and a joint appointment would require a vote of the full legislature. Will much change? Probably not. Because, again, very few legislators are going to vote against their own leader. However, it may make them think twice if you know that your local legislator is going to be on the record as saying, for example, I want to spend some of your money on outside attorneys to defend gerrymandered maps. So there's headline number one. Headline number two: Republican lawmakers circulate a bill that would increase penalties for defacing public memorials. That one coming from Anna Kleiber at the Journal Sentinel. The bill would make it a Class I felony to damage or deface any structure, plaque, statue, painting, or other monument of commemorative or historical significance that is on public property or is maintained by the state or any county or municipality. Governor Evers has already vetoed a bill like this because doing this kind of damage is already prohibited and punishable under current law. But it's that Republicans want to increase the penalty. This, of course, comes back to, you know, some of the riots post the, you know, George Floyd murder at the hands of Minneapolis police. And a lot of attention was paid to not just the rioting, but also the graffiti and vandalism that was done to historical markers. And not just in that case. There have been instances where other states, for example, you know, statues that and memorials are still up to heroes of the Confederacy and have been attacked. And lawmakers are essentially looking to score political points, saying, yeah, we're going to crack down on those hooligans. They might not have used the word hooligans. That just might be a me thing. But again, it's all the appearances. In one case, you've got a group looking to save taxpayer dollars and try to prevent legal mischief being done by our legislature. And then the people engaged in the legal mischief saying, let's get people angry at the few knuckleheads that are out there that vandalize a statue. That doesn't mean that they're necessarily wrong to do it. But in terms of priorities, I think that the bill to increase penalties for vandalizing a statue is more likely to get bipartisan support. That's a good thing. What I really want to see, though, is the bill that's designed to curtail legislative mischief and stop spending tens of millions of dollars in your tax money on outside lawyers. Will that attract any bipartisan support? Will there be any Republicans who will dispassionately look at this and say, you know what, the shoe could be on the other foot at some point where there'd be a Republican governor and a Democratic legislature, and, you know, do we really want outside counsel being brought in when we have an attorney general that is supposed to be independent and can bring these cases? It's all rhetorical, of course. It's all politics. I absolutely acknowledge that. But when you look at the priorities that people are bringing in the bills that they introduce, I just thought it was an interesting juxtaposition of what are being made priorities now that the state budget is done. I don't have time to read the entire letter, but I would commend to you the Wausau Pilot and Review in the opinion section. Recently, there was a column from Congressman Tom Tiffany, and it was all about the Trump mega bill. And it was an interesting fairy tale that he spun of all the things that he claimed the bill was going to do. In response, there's been a letter printed by a Brandon Lutke of Wausau that I would highly recommend, and we may get into it later if time allows, but points out fact by fact the things that are in the mega bill that Wisconsinites really should know what it is that Republicans and Trump have decided to cut in order to fund tax breaks for millionaires and billionaires. We'll hear from Sherita Booker about weekend events coming up after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network. All kinds of county fairs going on this weekend, plenty of other local festivals, and some that have some statewide popularity. And to tell us more about three of those this week is our social media manager at Up North News, Sherita Booker. Sherita, hello. How are you?
Hey, Pat. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. Let's take a look at what you've got lined up for us this weekend. We are starting with German Fest. And that is definitely one of the big ones. There's Oktoberfests, you know, in places like La Crosse and Chippewa Falls and elsewhere. But German Fest around Milwaukee, that is one big deal. Tell us what folks can expect this weekend.
Yep. So that kicks off tomorrow and will run through Sunday at Henry Meyer Festival Grounds. There will be live music, fireworks, parades, German dance performances. And if you don't know how to play the card game Sheepshead like me, now's your chance to learn. There will be a number of classes that will teach you all you need to know about the game. And don't forget to check out the Culture Village to learn more about German heritage. Visitors can explore cultural traditions through music, folk dance, storytelling, and take part in educational activities. General admission tickets are $5 on Friday and then $17 on Saturday and Sunday. So if you want more info or tickets online, you can go to germanfest.com.
Have you been to German Fest before?
You know, I just dabble in like all those festivals throughout the years. I might have, not 100% sure.
That's okay. Or any other Oktoberfest or anything else like that? Any other?
Never been to Oktoberfest.
Okay. Well, you mentioned Sheepshead, and it's funny that people could learn to play. No, I've been trying to learn to play that game for 40 years, and I still cannot play it properly. I mean, I can play it at a very basic level. My father-in-law, he's 85 years old. He can still count cards. He knows exactly what's in everybody's hand. It is incredible. But yeah, it's definitely a game. If you're a younger person who has that in the family, and you know, you've just never gotten the first exposure to it, this would be your chance. But I think more or less folks are more there for the polka dancing and the brats and everything else. There's a lot to see there for sure. Next is the Bristol Renaissance Fair that's down near the Kenosha area, and that's going on right now.
Yep, and that's taking place not only this weekend, but every Saturday and Sunday until September 1st. There will be tons of entertainment like a fire whip show, folk music, acrobats, and a Bristol buskin frolic dance show, and a children's knighting ceremony, but that's only every Saturday. And there will also be activities like archery, crossbows, and a swords master challenge. I was curious to find out what kind of foods they would have, like if it would go with the theme or not. So here are a few options that stuck out to me. They'll have Cornish meat pies, scotch eggs, a pork chop on a stick, shepherd's pie, turkey drumsticks, and they'll also have more traditional food options. So from Italian to Mexican and your traditional fair foods. And tickets start off at $43 for adults and $17 for children ages 5 to 12. And if you want more information or tickets, you can go to renfair.com/Bristol/.
That'd be, again, renfair.com, RENFAIR.com/Bristol. Have you been to either that one or any of these other Renaissance fairs that pop up now and then?
No, but, you know, I was just, like, looking this over yesterday, and Kenosha is not far from my house. It's, like, less than an hour. So, yeah. Like, it's every Saturday and Sunday till September. I feel like I can make time to go because they have so much food there. I would just go for the food.
Oh, I'm sure. The food has got to be really good. They get big crowds, and, of course, you want to have some good servings there, you know, your turkey legs, whatever else they have there. Yeah. Though I have to admit, I would have a tough time going back to a Renaissance fair since Game of Thrones. I would now, really? From this point, it's, you know, Renaissance fair is fun and it's innocent. And now I want like a dragon to incinerate some bad guy or something like that. And I
understand. Game of Thrones just at the top.
I'm afraid it's just not going to be the same for me. And finally, there is an event at Road America, a little bit of celebration of motorsports and music this weekend.
Yep. So, yeah, this one's for all the motorsports fans and car enthusiasts. Grid Life Summer Apex Music and Motorsports Fest starts tomorrow and runs through Sunday. The festival will blend high-speed car racing, drifting, and car culture and music together. And if you're really adventurous, they will have a Sunday driver program, which allows anyone to take their street car on Road America for lead follow laps. No previous experience required. But if you're on the cautious side like me, they will also have racing simulators and arcade driving games. General admission tickets vary by the day, but Friday tickets are $75, Saturday tickets are $99, and Sunday is $49. And for more tickets and information, visit roadamerica.com.
All right, so you're telling me growing up in the day, as you were learning to drive and things, you weren't tempted to be one of those folks that, you know, maybe exceeded the speed limit a little bit?
Oh, definitely. I feel like that's just natural when you first, like, get behind the wheel when you're, like, 16 and 19. You think you're so cool driving and... Yeah, you're going over the speed limit for sure. Now I'll keep it safe. Like,
yeah, of course you do. And I mean, the drifting and all these other things that you just worry that somebody's going to be practicing that, you know, right on Highway 100 as everybody's trying to commute to work or something like that. So, yeah, please, folks, keep it inside the festivals like this and don't do it in front of all the other commuters and things like that. Have you ever been to like auto racing, any tracks around that area, whether it's Road America or something else?
I have never been, but I've driven past like State Fair area. They have like something up there in West Dallas every year, I think.
Yes.
Some kind of like car racing event. And I've seen it like from the outside in, but I've never been inside and like taken apart.
I'm not a big racing enthusiast, but I have to say when I've been to a race and somebody I know is racing, like on one of the dirt tracks around the state, then it gets really fun because, I mean, you're personally invested in, you know, the success of that person, especially the dirt tracks. It just gets so dusty and fun to be cheering for somebody. A lot of great dirt tracks around the state as well. So not just the State Fair, not just Road America, but all kinds of great places to catch a race, and obviously this festival as well. So for all this and more, keep following what we put together in our newsletter and on social media. Social media manager Sharita Booker, thanks so much for this weekend's information. We'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later, Pat.
And of course, I did mention all of the other fairs and festivals and county fairs before, but let me highlight them again in case folks missed it previously. The Columbia County Fair is now open in Portage. The Dunn County Fair is going on in Menominee. The Eau Claire County Fair in Eau Claire. The Monroe County Fair in Toma. The Racine County Fair in Union Grove. The Rock County 4-H Fair in Janesville. The Washington County Fair in West Bend. Those were all open yesterday. And now four more are opening up today. The Langlade County Fair in Anago, the Polk County Fair in St. Croix Falls, the Taylor County Fair in Medford, and the Washburn County Fair in Spooner. So all kinds of great excuses to get out of the house and have a little fun this weekend. On the text line here from Jim in Brookfield, good morning, Pat and Parker. When my daughters went to the Taylor Swift concert in Dublin, not only were a lot of people wearing Taylor Swift t-shirts, a lot of concert goers were dressed up as Taylor Swift. I did not attend the concert, but my memory of Dublin is Irish whiskey, Guinness, and Taylor Swift merchandise.
That's a good way to remember it.
I am pretty sure that assisted with the gross national product of Ireland when she went there. And that's, again, it begs the question from earlier about somebody saying, well, they were talking about either Oasis or Coldplay, because one person we know is going to go see Oasis. Somebody else recently saw Coldplay, and they were talking about the t-shirts. And again, you can't wear the t-shirt when you buy it there. And
when you buy it there, I'm okay with not putting it on right away. However, the idea of not wearing like Coldplay shirt to a Coldplay concert is wild to me.
I'm not sure either. So
you can do that.
Anyway, Jim, thank you for chiming in on that. Our Sunday newsletter, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitler, includes our question of the week. And this week we ask, do extra early political ads work or backfire? And we're getting a lot of great responses to that. You can sign up for our Sunday morning newsletter and our weekday newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com for more. Well, we haven't talked about Russian Ron for a while. That, of course, would be Wisconsin's senior senator, Ron Johnson, a generous distributor of Russian disinformation over the years. And he's at it again. He's feeling newly emboldened to, again, trade in conspiracies about the 2016 election. And he's not the only one. This all started for me seeing a tweet from Derek Van Orden, who wanted to play Me Too on all of this. The tweet reads like this. We told America about this, and we were called Putin's puppets. I have been saying for years something about, you know, people, former FBI director being a communist mole. He concludes the tweet saying, Obama and company need to go to prison. This is Congressman Derek Van Orden saying Obama and company need to go to prison. All right, well, what prompted that tweet from Derek Van Orden? It was one from Senator Ron Johnson. And he wrote, the extent to which Obama and top members of his administration interfered in the 2016 and 2020 elections is orders of magnitude worse than anything Russia or China could have ever dreamed to achieve. Unfortunately, the legacy media who were either duped or complicit in pushing the Russia collusion hoax will continue to cover up for their pals. They should apologize and return their Pulitzer Prizes. I am not aware of anything factual that is in that tweet from Ron Johnson, except maybe that people won Pulitzer Prizes for their coverage of the ways that Russia tried to meddle in the 2016 election. Something that he and Donald Trump and others simply have never been able to stop talking about. And it's never been based in anything other than conspiracies and suspicion. And just when we think it's all gone away, it's getting dredged up again. But why? Well, let's go back a step further to Trump's Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, who has, I don't even think cherry-picked is the right word, just completely conflated facts that were in previous documents about Russian efforts to help Donald Trump in 2016. And she has announced that there ought to be investigations into this, that that the Obama administration engaged in inappropriate activity related to inflating claims about Russian interference in the 2016 election. The thing is, you can read through the documents. There's already reports out there that break down the ways that she curiously omitted some information. And again, cherry-picked words in a way that enables her to make these wild and unsubstantiated claims. Well, why is she doing this now all of a sudden? I mean, Tulsi Gabbard has been, like Ron Johnson, you know, exposed many times as somebody whose sympathies to Vladimir Putin truly get in the way of their doing, fulfilling their oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. Well, it might have something to do with this headline that came out late yesterday, that Trump's Attorney General, Pam Bondi, alerted President Trump that his name does appear in the Epstein files. Now, we don't know anything about the context of it. I want to make that really clear. It could be just a passing mention. But he had denied earlier that Pam Bondi had said anything to him about this. And now, of course, he curiously is no longer fulfilling his promise for the quick, timely release of all of these various Epstein files. Instead, there have been these diversions about Russia and arresting President Obama and members of Congress from Wisconsin playing along in this game, a very foolish, a very dangerous game of diversion from something as basic as release the Epstein files. Today's history lesson is next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Folks in social media going, oh, wow, I did not know Patton Parker could dance like that, as we swivel our heads in time to the music, because one of us watched way too much of The Big Bang Theory. Anyway, on this week in 1982, thanks to its use in the movie Rocky III, Eye of the Tiger by Survivor hits number one for the first of 6 weeks. We impressed Tony. He just puts on YouTube, amazing. Thank you.
Didn't even plan it.
I know. Just some things just work out well. We should try figure skating next.
Sure.
Birthdays today include actor Michael Richards, Kramer from Seinfeld, 76 years old today. And Wonder Woman, the original Wonder Woman, Linda Carter, is 74 years old today. The number one song this week in 1976, so 49 years ago this week, the number one song was by the Manhattans.
Say goodbye. I had to meet you here today.
Let's go back 90 years ago today to the Dust Bowl, when the Dust Bowl heat wave reached its peak during that awful summer of 1935. The temperature was 104 degrees in Milwaukee that day, 109 degrees in Chicago. And, I mean, this wasn't like, you know, Canadian wildfire smoke. This was like the literal topsoil of the country being blown away in this hot, hot weather. Again, this week in 1935. Another birthday from the music world. Let's go over to the country scene, where singer Pam Tillis is 68 years old today. Pam Tillis had a dozen top 10 country hits overall. The next one in the history segment, Roger figured out that this one was coming up from Stevens Point. He put up on Facebook, 42 years ago today was the infamous Pine Tar Game. I remember how much I wanted lightning to strike Billy Martin. The game was George Brett playing for the Kansas City Royals this day in 1983 against the Yankees. And he had a game-winning home run nullified in the Pine Tar incident, which I'm sure, Parker, as a baseball fan, you have seen the film of this.
It is one of my favorite videos on a baseball field of all time. It's so funny.
It is, but I mean, it is also...
As far as rules go, it's absurd.
Well, the rule was absurd, and it, you know, you see George Brett sitting in the dugout. He thought he hit the game-winning home run. The ump is looking at the bat. Puts the bat up against home plate because the amount of pine tar should not be as far up the bat as home plate is wide. You see the umpire put up the thumb, you're out. And George Brett, I mean, the look on his face as he comes storming. I mean, he flies out of the dugout. And I mean, it looks like he's going to knock that ump into next week. Now, he doesn't, but it does have something to say about impulse control and anger management.
Yeah.
Again, I understand the anger. It's what you do with it. And that was a big highlight back in 1983 when, again, you learn all the little intricacies of the rules. I mean, we had that game the other day, catcher's interference that brought in the game-winning run. But you got to follow the rules.
Got to love baseball. Yeah. Weird stuff.
Next birthday here is from Jennifer Lopez. J-Lo is 55 years old today. Let's see. The movie La Bamba, a somewhat fictionalized biography of Latin rock star Richie Valens, opens in the U.S. Let's jump down to 1978 here, where the film Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band is released. I know you're thinking, wait, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band? That was an album by the Beatles, right? Yeah, but in 1978, they tried to turn it into a movie of sorts, and the soundtrack did well. Here's Earth, Wind, and Fire coming off of it. This, of course, was Got to Get You Into My Life. There was also Aerosmith doing their version of Come Together. You had the Bee Gees on this album. You had Billy Preston. You had Peter Frampton. This film tanked so hard. It was savaged by critics, becoming a legendary Hollywood flop despite the rock and roll cameos. It's described as a rock opera of sorts and tells the story of a band as they wrangle with the music industry and battle evil forces bent on stealing their instruments and corrupting their hometown.
Yeah, it doesn't sound great.
I mean, just from that alone, no, not. And what little clip I've seen of it did not make me go, oh, I should stream that. No.
I need a good bad movie.
A good bad movie?
I could get behind watching this.
You could try that. You could try that. But it did give us, like I said, a couple of good Beatles remakes, Aerosmith's Come Together, and this one from Earth, Wind, and Fire. Comic-Con starts in San Diego today. This is Amelia Earhart's birthday, born in 1897, so it's Amelia Earhart Day. This is also National Cousins Day, and it's National Drive-Thru Day. And no, for folks in Wisconsin, we don't mean the cousins drive-thru. Don't conflate the two. Oh. It's you're the cousins, the people that either they're like siblings to you, or you see them at most once a year at family reunions.
It is a pretty wide spectrum on that, isn't it?
Well, especially depending on the number. Now, when I was growing up, I only had three other cousins. Whereas my wife, you know, because of the large farm families back then, I mean, dozens of first cousins, which when you're planning a wedding and thinking, who all do you invite to this thing? Yeah, it's
so many.
It's like, oh, there's so many people here I don't know. And then she'll say, yeah, I don't really know them that well either. Coming up in our next hour, we were going to be talking about cryptocurrency, and two state legislators are going to talk about ways to protect consumers from ripoffs for those ATM-looking cryptocurrency-friendly boxes that are popping up around the country. And then later, we'll talk to Chad Holmes. We'll talk to Sean O'Malley about your money in the markets. We'll talk to Joe Sopecki. All ahead here, live today from Madison. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.